What is electrical alternance? Simply stated, electrical alternance is a fairly uncommon ECG phenomenon in which there is a rhythmic variation in any one or more parts of the ECG recording. This variation in the recording may occur every other beat, or it may occur with some other recurring ratio, be this every third or fourth beat. Those parts of the ECG recording that may be affected with electrical alternance include amplitude or direction of the P wave, morphology of the QRS complex, and/or shape of the ST segment or T wave. In addition to change in the shape of the various ECG waveforms, duration of the various intervals, that is the PR interval, QRS duration, or the QTC, any of these intervals may lengthen or shorten a little bit. The effect that this all might have on the ECG is to simulate bigeminy, trigeminy, or quadrigeminy, in that every second or every third or every fourth beat may look slightly different in shape and with a different coupling interval, when in effect there are no extra beats, but rather all of the P waves and QRS complexes are arising from the same site in the heart despite manifesting this changing morphology. The phenomenon of electrical alternance is not new. It was first described in 1909. Even at that time, more than 100 years ago, the investigators recognized the two principal situations in which electrical alternance occurs, which are with severe heart disease, especially with large pericardial effusions, and with reentry SVT rhythms. So, clinically, why do we care about the phenomenon of electrical alternance? The answer is that this phenomenon sometimes provides an important clue to our patient's underlying condition. That said, I'll emphasize that true electrical alternance is not a common occurrence in my experience, and most of the time when it does occur, it is not the deciding factor that makes the diagnosis, but rather a clue that adds support to what you were thinking. An additional benefit of recognizing electrical alternance is that it may be reassuring by explaining what otherwise might seem to be a bizarre rhythmic alternation of QRST morphology. What then are the mechanisms that may be responsible for electrical alternance? I'll simplify my answer by dividing this into two basic types: those mechanisms that are related to repolarization, conduction, or refractoriness, and those related to abnormal cardiac motion. Looking at this second mechanism first, the most important clinical entity associated with motion alternans is a large pericardial effusion. In the extreme, this mechanism is easy to understand in that there is a pendulous movement, that is a swinging back and forth of the heart within an enlarged, fluid-filled pericardial sac in a patient with a very large pericardial effusion, the swinging heart phenomenon. That said, it's important to appreciate that many pericardial effusions do not produce electrical alternance, especially when the effusion is small or modest in size. And even when the effusion is large, you will not always see electrical alternance. So clinically, you'll probably most often suspect a large pericardial effusion from a chest X-ray showing a greatly enlarged pear-shaped cardiac shadow, and then echo at the bedside, not ECG, echo will instantly confirm for you how much fluid has accumulated. So most of the time in those patients with large pericardial effusions, in whom you do see electrical alternance, you will have already made the diagnosis by chest X-ray confirmed by echo. There is one exception to this that is worth mentioning. After all, what you really care about clinically in patients with large pericardial effusions is which of these patients are most at risk of developing shock from cardiac tamponade, as this may be a medical emergency in need of immediate pericardiocentesis. If you happen to see total electrical alternance on ECG, that is, rhythmic alternation of the P wave, QRS complex, and T wave, this is predictive of a much greater likelihood of developing tamponade. So there may be occasions in which progressive decrease in QRS amplitude and development of total electrical alternance on ECG may help to predict an impending emergency. The more common situation in which most of us are likely to encounter electrical alternance is in the setting of a reentry SVT rhythm, especially when an accessory pathway is involved. Clinically, I've found this ECG finding most helpful when assessing an undifferentiated regular SVT rhythm without clear sign of atrial activity, especially when the heart rate is close to 150 per minute, because at this rate, a regular SVT rhythm could be sinus tachycardia with sinus P waves hidden within the preceding T wave. It could be atrial flutter with 2:1 AV conduction. It could be atrial tachycardia, AV NRT with the reentry circuit confined to the AV node, or it could be orthodromic AVRT, in which the electrical impulse travels first down the normal AV nodal pathway and then back up the accessory pathway. Seeing electrical alternans in this circumstance greatly increases the likelihood that the mechanism of this regular SVT rhythm is orthodromic AVRT with a participating accessory pathway. Note, in my experience, most cases of electrical alternans that I have seen are fairly subtle. I usually see this phenomenon in a few, but not most, of the 12 leads. The most common manifestation of this ECG sign that I've seen is alternation of QRS amplitude every other beat. But as I've mentioned, there can be subtle variation in the R2R interval every other beat, and sometimes there is slight change in T-wave morphology, again, often only occurring in a few of the 12 leads. I'll finish with a few caveats. Although the presence of electrical alternans in association with a reentry SVT rhythm makes it more likely that there is a participating accessory pathway, this ECG phenomenon can be seen with AV-NRT confined to the AV node. It has also been reported to occur with monomorphic VTAC. So seeing electrical alternans does not 100% rule out ventricular tachycardia. Finally, there is a long list of medical conditions that on occasion have been associated with electrical alternans. These include hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, acute pulmonary embolus, subarachnoid hemorrhage, ischemia, infarction, and severe LV dysfunction, severe electrolyte disturbance, such as hypokalemia and or hypomagnesemia, cardiac arrest, and or marked QTC prolongation. And in a patient with QT prolongation or severe ischemia, recognition of electrical alternans may predict deterioration of the rhythm to torsade de pointe or VTVFib. In conclusion, electrical alternans is not a common phenomenon, but it does occur, and you will on occasion see it. When you do, look for an underlying clinical condition that may be responsible for this ECG sign. Awareness of those conditions likely to predispose to electrical alternans may tip you off to the presence of a participating accessory pathway in a reentry SVT rhythm. It may tip you off to development of a large pericardial effusion, to impending cardiac tamponade, torsade de pointe, or ventricular fibrillation, or to ischemia, severe LV dysfunction, or some other worsening medical condition.